TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 109, Thursday, 24th of May, 2007. I'm Ian Dixon. This week on the show, MC Integration's Jason Allinen returns to the show to talk about Media Centre integration and his company's Icehouse Media Centre jukebox that came out earlier this year. I have email into the show, news items and an update on the competition to win a copy of my book using Microsoft Windows Vista Media Centre. So, first to an update on the prize that was given away back on show 97. Which Jack won a wireless keyboard from Vidabox, and he's recently received that and sent me an email to say, "Good news, Ian, it finally came in the mail today. Thanks so much. The keyboard is much smaller than I thought it would be, which is good. I can neatly fit it under my coffee table, and now I can use it on my couch and use the trackball to play things like Hold'em card game from 10 foot away. Thanks again." Thanks for the update, Jack. It's great to know that your prize, and it is a very nice keyboard, the Vidabox keyboard, and it's good to know that the prizes find their way there eventually. Now to an email from Mike Edgley. He says, "Hi Ian, I'm wondering if the Xbox 360 is compatible with the infrared Media Center keyboard. Can I simply use the keyboard normally, or do I have to buy a receiver or something like that? I can't seem to find a definitive answer anywhere on the web. Some say it works and some say it doesn't. Thanks, Mike." Thanks for the email, Mike. I've been meaning to try this, but I have tried it quite a while ago, but I haven't tried it recently. The Media Center keyboard, I found the Media Center buttons will work, like the TV buttons and the channel change and the remote control type functions, but the QWERTY keyboard didn't work. Now, it may have been updated since a recent update of the Xbox 360, but I don't think it does, and I think that's the case, that it won't do the QWERTY side. But if any listeners have any ideas, please let me know. Now an email from John McGuinness. He says, "Hi there, Ian. I was listening to your show last week and heard you mention your Palm Trio 750. I've been an avid Palm user these last 5 years and now I'm looking to update my Trio 650. As much as I want the high speed capability of the 750, I also want the stability of the Palm operating system. I have heard that Windows mobile devices are a bit slow and clunky. I certainly don't want this. So I ask you, how have you found the Trio 750? Does it run smoothly? And how many times, weekly, monthly, date, do you have to reset it? Keep up the good work, Jay." Thanks for the email, John. The 750 is working great for me. I've been using it for about a month now. I went from an iMate PDA 2K, which is a Windows Mobile 2003, to the Trio, and found that the Windows Mobile 5 is a much better operating system. I do have to reset it occasionally. I seem to find that some of the hardware buttons don't seem to work as they should do. But this is only, certainly not daily and maybe weekly, but it's probably more down to me fiddling about because I'm always trying to get different things running on it. But I found it a really nice device, and it works really well. I've had a couple of issues as well with the Bluetooth headsets, not always sort of answering the call when you press the button on the headsets, but I need to do a bit more fiddling around. But overall, I've been really happy with the device, and I know quite a lot of the people are, so I think you should be okay with that. In fact, we'll be featuring Windows Mobile devices on a future show with Stephen Hughes, a Windows Mobile MVP. We're going to be talking about Windows Mobile 5 and 6 and what's coming down the line. Now, a couple of news items. Mr. Remote had an item on Logitech's upcoming mini Media Center keyboard. It looks a nice handheld device. It kind of reminded me of a clamshell Windows Mobile device or a Pocket PC type device. Mike says on the post that you can more or less use a normal Media Center remote, but this does seem nice. It's got a little QWERTY keyboard on there and a nice accompaniment to the Media Center remote maybe. Interesting to see how that comes out. While I was reading through some of the content coming out of the WinHEX show, I noticed that, and that's the hardware conference for that Microsoft put on Windows, I noticed an interesting press release from Ricovision about their Scribbler Sideshow fridge magnets, the MK140FM fridge magnet. The device can magnetically stick to your fridge and talk wirelessly to a Vista PC, and as their Sideshow devices and feature a 3.5-inch quarter VGA screen, you can run any of the Sideshow gadgets that are out there, and so that means things like controlling Windows Media Player, email, weather, stocks, and there's a Scribbler application for sending notes back to the Vista PC. So these devices look quite nice, and I can see an opportunity here for these devices to be mounted as control panels for Media Center, and with very little effort really. So I'd be interested to see if any Media Center integrators come up with anything like that, and we're going to talk about sort of touchscreens and that with Jason later. And I quite like the idea of one of these mounted somewhere on the wall so I can control my Media Center PC. I know you can do it with a remote, but it was the kind of the wall touchscreen does sound quite nice to me. So anyway, check out the link on the press release in the show notes. Oh, and Ricovision have also got an update on their remote, which includes a Sideshow functionality on it as well, so have a look at that. And Chris Lanier reports a new website is being launched called Media Center Components, and he said that the aim of the site is to build a Media Center. The aim of the site is to help when building a Media Center PC, you can see what components play together nicely, and it's got like a database system. Where you can upload a report from your system that kind of, and you can rate how your system performing, and then it can sort of build up the database. And the owner Paul wants some help in, or wants your help in getting it going. So check out the link and get your experiences on there. I did try something very similar to this back earlier in the year, back in January, where I was looking for a new TV card that was running Vista and wanted to get listeners' thoughts on that. So you may remember I started the forums on the digitallifestyle.com where you can post your thoughts on your individual components, so whether it be TV cards, video cards, audio cards, all that kind of thing. So those forums are still there and a good resource of information, and perhaps it's about time we did some more updates on those. So check out those links and check out the site. I think it's a great idea. Over on C Pro, there were a couple of good posts about new Media Center systems coming out. Nivius are planning to come out with a lower cost Media Center solution that's discontinuation of their digital entertainment system. And yeah, there's a link in the show notes to that, to the story from C Pro about that. And I think Nivius's offering is going to be designed for what they call MDUs, which are multi-dwelling units, apartments and hotels, condos, that kind of things. So basically a lower cost additional Media Center products, although lower cost, maybe not quite what we'd see as a lower cost device, but additional Media Centers that aren't as high as the price point, very nice, but they are expensive. So it would be interesting to see what they come out with. And the post also goes on to say that Intercept may be looking at a similar solution. Also on CE Pro, they are reporting that Exceptional Innovation are going to ship 5 new Media Center PCs. And this is their first venture into the hardware business, as you may know them from doing the Lifeware home automation and other software for around Media Center. This is the first hardware they're doing. They're going to be 5 models called Life Media, starting at expensive $4,500, but including cable card. And these are meant, again, to fill that sort of market that HP have lost out for system integrators to install for the AV guy components. So it's not going to be sort of an enthusiast machine, but it certainly could be seen in sort of the big AV installations. So it's good to see another company supporting Media Center. And I'll link for all those articles in the show notes. And finally, check out Yanza's home automation software. It's free and it looks pretty good, actually. There's a great video of it on automatedhome.co.uk's website, and I'll include a link for that in the show notes. So you could get started pretty cheaply, get a couple of X10 plugs and at least give that a try. I mentioned last week about the competition to win a copy of my book using Microsoft Windows Vista Media Center. Plus, there's a pack including a Microsoft t-shirt, memory stick, a Vista mouse and mouse mat. And the mouse is really nice, it's a wireless mouse. And to win a copy of this pack, just send me an email with your favourite feature, Media Center, and let me know where you are as well, and I'll put you into the prize draw. In fact, I'm going to actually keep this open for a few weeks now, because the Media Center show is taking 2 weeks off as I go on holiday. I'm going to Cyprus. So there'll be no show next week or the week after, and the show will be back on Thursday, the 14th of June. So I'll keep the competition open till then. So don't forget, send that in, and I'll let you know when I get back. Right, now time for a break and a message from One Voice, and I'll be back with Jason.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on One Voice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. One Voice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Jason, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Ian. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that long since we last talked, but I guess it's almost a year now. It was at CES last year.
Yeah, definitely.
And, of course, you've had lots of Media Center stuff going on, and the thing that probably caught the interest at the beginning of the year was the Ice House Media Center jukebox, which is a really cool product. We'll come back to that. But I guess you've got a whole lot of stuff you're doing MC integration.
Yeah, you know, we were really trying to find our niche, and we started working with the AV channel. Me coming from the AV channel, I kind of knew the gap that was missing and the help that they needed, so we were trying to get the Media Center size to the screen properly, and I think we talked about, you know, using applications to do that, and it seems like things have gotten better in that realm. We've found TVs that have just worked, so we're kind of selling a solution that works with the mini PCs that I make or just the Media Center PCs that I make. So, but we wanted to find the niche, and that niche was funny because at CES we met somebody at the Microsoft booth, just a guy that was, you know, interested in Media Center. He was looking at cable car. He was looking at some of the stuff that they were going to be coming out with. And we started talking, and I told him what I do in Seattle market. He happened to be from Washington, too. And he's a marketing guy. He works with companies to create marketing ideas. And so this whole Ice House Rockbox started with him, and I kind of jumped on board to actually build the Media Center product for him and get the touchscreens integrated and stuff. So he's special. Specializes in the marketing aspect, and he had a jukebox guy that he worked with. And since then, you know, it went really well. We did about 30 last year. We plan on doing quite a bit more this year. And these jukeboxes went all over the country as marketing pieces. But now we kind of found our niche. We took that box, we took it to the Seattle Home Show, you know, marketed it to a lot of the companies out there. And now that we have a product that we're actually selling, which is the jukebox, you know, we can take that and kind of grow from it. So it's a really good way, kind of a stepping stone or a way to get your foot in the door with these AV guys who have been hesitant to sell or give the Media Center a chance. Now they have something they can throw into a game room. It basically controls, you know, the distributed audio. It could be connected to the distributed audio system where they can access their music or media in kind of a really neat way.
I mean, were you surprised by this reaction you got from that? Because it was, it got quite a big impact when you sort of announced this.
Yeah, people were definitely calling me left and right. I was getting a lot of emails about the product. They were interested in it. I had NVIDIA sent me some of their units. They're actually creating a new motherboard that is really, you know, made for the Media Center community. And so they're sending me these boards, and it was awesome. It was really good to get that feedback back that people are interested in this and they want to see it evolve. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're working with a jukebox developers to create solutions that meet everybody's need. The one that we did ran about $6,000. The reason it was that much was because the Crosley jukebox was a very nostalgic piece. It's an antique piece that typically runs about $3,000 to $5,000 just for the box, and that's not with my mini PC that we put in there, or just the Media Center PC that we would integrate into it. So it's a little bit more of an expensive box, but fantastic for, you know, the consumer that wants to use it for marketing pieces and things like that. That went really well. But we were trying to evolve that into something that really works for everybody. So by the time this launches, you'll be able to check our website, which is mceintegration.com, and you're going to see a new product release, which is going to be the Mini Rock Box. And what it is it's a Crosley box also, but it's a miniature version. It's about, you know, maybe a foot high, foot and a half high by about a foot wide. So it's going to be a lot smaller than the other one, which will obviously bring the cost down. These boxes, for me, retail or cost is about $75, and so we'll probably, you know, sell them at, you know, with the cost of the Media Center, about $150. The mini PC is what determines the price, though. So you can go with, we typically use the AOpen mini PC, and they just released a few new ones that run Vista really well. And if you want to check them out, you can go to minipc.aopen.com. The newest one is the MP945-VDR. It allows you to use the Intel, I think it's the Core 2 Duo, you know, it's got the 945 GM chipset, Vista Ready. It says Vista Premium Ready, but Ultimate has worked perfectly fine on it. Vive Ready, it's got an HDMI interface, so it's perfect for how we use it in the AV channel. It's got 5.1 channel surround sound, gigabit Ethernet, SATA 2, USB 2, dual channel, SO DIMM, DDR2 RAM that you can use. I think you can go up to a gig, I believe, or they might have bumped it to 2 now because this product is pretty new. We haven't used it that much yet. It's got the DVD burner you can use. Obviously, it's got a built-in built-in IR, so you can use the whatever new MCE remote. I'm hoping they release their remote soon so we can see what type of options we can give to our customers. And it also has the TV tuner built-in, which is fantastic. So you got a miniature box. It's a small form factor. It's one of the smallest form factors we've worked with, which means we can actually use it in this mini rock box, and it just looks great. And then we'll also have a 7-inch touchscreen that kind of comes out and folds up like, you know, Alpine car decks do. So that should be fun.
That sounds really good. I mean, I know you're a big fan of the touchscreen, and do you think that, like the Ice House box, has really shown that your Media Center can be used with a touchscreen in different ways than just your standard, you know, a PC in the corner with a remote control? You know, you've got these different options with it.
Well, I think that's the great thing, is you have the options. Yeah, I am a huge fan of the touchscreen. I think that in the end it's going to be all about the touchscreens, and that's just my opinion. But you know, interacting with voice too, and having the remote and these different ways, like in my kitchen, I just finished a mini PC that I have mounted to the back of a touchscreen. It's it's the same kind you see, you know, in the supermarket. It's an 11-inch touchscreen. Looks fantastic. It's color is great too. So it's similar to the HP. I don't know if you've ever seen. Have you seen the HP? What is it? The TouchSmart.
Yeah, I saw it at CES.
Yeah, so that's a fantastic box, and it's actually affordable. Our solution is pretty close to that. It's about $1,200, and you know, you snap the touchscreen on the back, and it basically has the. It's a little bit more compact though. That TouchSmart is a little bit bigger. You know, you see the DVD kind of form factor underneath it, and it's got the printer that you can put in the back. Ours is basically just the screen. That's it. The MIDI PC goes in the back. The wires are concealed. So really, when it looks, it's just a lot sleeker, and it looks really nice. But it's really great to have the ability to interact with Media Center in multiple variety of ways. What I'm really excited for, if it ever happens, is you know, within the home automation realm, kind of jumping over here a little bit, is to be able to use one voice kind of characteristics within the home automation. So from the kitchen, not only can I pull up my, you know, television if I want to see a cooking channel that's helping me prepare a meal, I want to also be able to say, you know, turn the temperature up 3 degrees, or, you know, dim the lights on or something like that, and have that interact.
And that is probably achievable now, isn't it? It's just, you know, all the pieces are there. It's just kind of putting them all together.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping that these, you know, developers, I know they're doing a fantastic job. They get people working with SoftSled, and, you know, you guys creating the applications for Vista, and it's definitely, it's moving forward. So the whole, you know, the Media Center community is doing a great job, and I'm excited to see what happens. Prior, though, with Media Center 2005, back to the question about using touchscreen with the Rockbox, it was really tricky because you obviously couldn't scroll down. It didn't have the up or down arrows, the left or right arrows, so sometimes you'd have to use the mouse or arrow key to navigate down to the settings to work with the settings, and that was a bummer. But with Vista, you know, obviously that's all changed with the arrows. It's touchscreen friendly, and actually the guy that we worked with was a part of that here in Redmond, working with Microsoft, I believe, on at least getting that idea to them to say, hey, you know, you guys need to take a look at touchscreens because that's where it's at. Because I know that maybe they weren't focused on that initially.
But it's surprising how well the touchscreen works with Vista. I've just got a Samsung UMPC, you know, a little form factor. I'm running Media Center on there using the touchscreen works really well, and I prefer the interface to the origami experience that comes with the UMPCs.
Oh yeah, definitely, especially with the larger screen, it just makes it so much easier. And eventually, I'd like to see, you know, you to be able to walk up to your 42-inch LCD or plasma or whatever and be able to interact with that if you felt like it. I think that'd be kind of a neat, especially for business. And that's another project we're working with, is we're using these mini PCs in other areas within businesses to create kind of an extender platform where or solution where, you know, for instance, there's an architectural firm that we work with that will extend through the Media Center. You know, we'll have a Media Center server, and then on another box they're just basically accessing that content wirelessly, and then through Media Center they'll have a slideshow going of past projects or recent projects and things like that. So there's a lot of uses and a lot of opportunity out there right now.
And you mentioned about the one in the kitchen, so have you got that set up working now, the touchscreen one?
Yeah, I do, yeah, with Vista too, so it runs pretty well. You know, my box is a mediocre box. If you look at that mini PC site again, it's their second model, so it's got a kind of a gray case and a purple top. It looks like it's the MP945X. And I have pretty basic stuff in there. The only issue that I have run into is the graphic capabilities are pretty weak. It runs it with the 945 GM chipset, but it doesn't do it well. I mean, you want to go for the higher-end boxes, so I can't wait to upgrade it and really get the full experience. But I love it. You know, it's so cool to be able to record all my favorite cooking shows and then go up and touch it with my finger, which is fantastic, and just, you know, pull up the cooking show and be able to interact with it. So it's definitely something that I think many, many, many people are going to start doing. I know the HP Smart, I am a good friend with one of the salespeople here, one of the district managers with HP. It's been not doing very well in the retail channel. I mean, it seems like a lot of these retail guys don't push it at all. There's nobody ever, you know, standing there showing you about the Touch Smart, and I think that that's a shame because it's a fantastic machine, and it's something that's going to sell really well.
Yeah, I agree on that. It does. You know, when you start to use it, especially with the photo application and the little notes things, you know, it's really intuitive, and you could really see someone who's not coming from a technical background be able to pick up that and operate that really easily. So I'm surprised it's not doing well, but I guess it's just down to the promotion side.
Well, yeah, it's all about getting the knowledge out there, and that's the problem, is that the retail channel isn't trained as well as they should, or they don't focus on that, especially with HP. I mean, 80% of their income comes from ink, so, you know, you can guess where they're kind of standing and where HP really wants them, and that's over at the printer, selling their printers. So they don't focus on that. They kind of hope that it sells itself, and that won't happen. So with the AV channel, we've been really getting the knowledge out there. I mean, we walk them through our home, which is basically my wife and I have a kind of a test home or a demo home, you could say, where everything is set up with Media Center and touch screens, and we get the distributed audio and all that type of stuff. So we walk them through here, and we're actually going to have LifeWare set up here pretty soon.
You mentioned you do the integration. How are you finding the change from XP to Vista for the integration side? Is it meaning that, you know, It's easier to sell now that Media Center sort of built in there and the awareness has been increased?
Yeah, I mean, thanks to Microsoft and the marketing that they've done and all the materials that they have on their website for me to do my marketing and the shows and all the stuff, that the community, everything that they've been doing to get it out there. Obviously, people have Media Center and they don't even know it nowadays, and with Vista, it's just gotten a lot easier. I think as far as to sell it, it's going to be easier when they release cable card, because that's what a lot of these AV guys have been waiting for a long time. I mean, Vista looks great. It works great. I mean, people like us that are using it know that it kicks butt. I mean, especially with the Xbox 360, as long as you got a good enough machine. So it seems like if everybody, you know, was willing to invest, and that's the thing, you have to be willing to invest into the new system. You got to have the higher end components. You got to have the nicer mini PC. You got to have the Xbox 360. And you probably going to have to upgrade your main PC to run Vista and hopefully have home server, because I think that many people will use home server because it's such a great utility when that's launched. But if you're willing to do it, you're going to be so happy with it. So it's an investment that's worth it, and that's the sell. That's the thing that's difficult to sell, but that's, you know, it really sells itself when you have it actually working. So in my house, when people come in and actually see it working, it's really done well with helping us increase business.
And obviously you're doing the sort of the reselling and the integration and the actual home installation. Do you think then if it's installed as a professional service, you're going to get much better use out of it than sort of the individual consumer picking up a sort of the single PC and hoping to run with it?
I think so, because, you know, obviously we have some experience that they don't. We know all the third-party apps and, you know, even your application that you develop, your applications, you know, showing them that stuff, a lot of people don't even know about it, and they don't do the research to find it. So if we can package that, which we try and do, you know, we package what we can into the price and put as much software as we can, then teach them how to use it. That really adds on to the experience of Media Center, because that's what it's really all about. That is the what they really appreciate, and that's kind of the end result that they're looking for. They're looking for the support. So I think that it's definitely important to go through a professional installer. I think that, you know, whether you go through Best Buy or you go through a company like mine, we're all gonna be trained on it. It seems like, you know, I know a lot more than even the Best Buy guys, but having it installed is definitely something that's going to be beneficial for the end user.
And then you mentioned sort of about the distributed audio. What software or services do you use to get that? Because that's one thing that sort of in out of the box Media Center doesn't seem to support.
Yeah, and it's still been tricky. I think that, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are creating touch screens that actually let you view the metadata from Media Center PCs, where you can select music. But like I was talking to you when we first met at the first 2 years ago at CES, I want to see a touch screen like the UMPC device, because I mean we've actually set that up to see that working, where it's acting as an extender. In a way where that's why I'm excited to see these version 2 extenders. I want to see good extenders out there, portable ones, that will replace existing distributed audio system keypads. You know, those are typically either single gang or dual gang. If they're nicer ones, it's dual gang, which is, you know, two light plates, if you can imagine that. And you plop that in there, you'll have a touchscreen interface where it basically might be just a window to your server, you know, where your home server is, and just access your content. Or maybe it's a PC completely, and that's what we've been having to do, is actually put a mini PC maybe in a closet behind that wall, or try and create a solution where it's inside the wall and all you can see is the power button and the touchscreen, where you can pop it on and use a little 7-inch touchscreen to select your source or select your, you know, the content that you want to play. And then from that mini PC, it's running all the way to the distributed audio, which might be on the other side of the house. So there's a lot of unnecessary steps, and I'd like to see, you know, Wi-Fi, whether it's 802.11n or, you know, ultra wideband, or one of the wireless technologies out there that allow, you know, us to do an easy, or have an easy solution that will give you the extender functionality within a touchscreen, where you can just plop it into each room. It has to be very compact and very elegant, you know, where you can basically have the Media Center interface just like you would with an extender. You know, that's our vision. I want to see that come to pass quickly. We've been trying to do it ourselves, and it's a pain in the butt. So I want to see somebody, you know, sell that solution that, or offer it to resellers, where we could just basically sell it to the end user and still make some profit. But I still haven't seen anything yet.
And the issue with the extenders is that you know, the Xbox 360 is a great extender, and as I mentioned on the show every week now, I use it as my extender full time. But you know, for sort of integration all around the house, and for people that want sort of AV components, then, you know, the 360 is not ideal, and you want a dedicated hardware device.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, even if the television, obviously, everybody's working on these version 2 extenders, and I think that they'll be obviously built into the television like HP did, and more TVs to come. They'll have small components that will clip on the back of TVs that will basically kind of be like an Apple TV-like device, right? And we'll give you a ability to go to an input and be able to have the Media Center experience instead of having the 360. I mean, the 360 is what people have to get now, but that's going to be, you know, gone here and very, very quickly. There's going to be a lot of extenders, obviously, is what I'm hoping, at least. I mean, this is what I've been told from some of the Microsoft guys, so they better be putting out either them or now third party since it's more open source. I'm not familiar with SoftSled, though. Is that I heard on a few of your podcasts, is that something that, so third-party developers now can basically use the software and create extenders themselves?
Well, I think that SoftSled was really the project that never existed. You know, there was talk of a software extender called SoftSled, but it's sort of never come to pass, and there's been a few people in the community that have wanted to push Microsoft to come out with something. So the SoftSled.net is a new project to generate some interest to create an open source version of SoftSled. So it'll be interesting to see whether anything comes of that. I mean, I use Orb as my sort of SoftSled on my other Media Center PCs, but you know, it would be nice to have the Microsoft version of it, but it doesn't look like it's on the radar at the moment anyway. Maybe we'll be surprised and something will come out, but I've not heard any sort of indications of anything like that yet.
Yeah, so whether it's Microsoft that creates better extenders or it's third party, they got to get them out here quicker because that's what's holding companies like mine from really. Number one, being able to get funding, because I mean, I've taken my business plan to multiple, venture capitalists and family, friends, and banks and whoever, but people just won't buy into the idea yet of Media Center really being a business model for companies, and that's sad because it can be, it is right now. I mean, I made quite a bit of money last year off just the mini PC Rockbox, the touchscreen jukebox, and I think that's a stepping stone. If I was to, you know, I created a relationship with Ted Singh from Embedded Automation, which I plan to, you know, for some of the customers that want I'm creating two new plans, other two new products that you'll see on my website soon are two home automation packages. One of them will be a affordable luxury package, which will be Ted Singh's Embedded Automation package, where you know, we'll have the Insteon products with a kind of a base, whether it's just a cam or just a lighting system that connects to the touchscreen jukebox. So it's an add-on. So it's a good way for me to make some, you know, a continued revenue off of that. And then we'll also do the Lifeware, which we'll just call, you know, the luxury system because it is. I don't know if you know, but they're working with Best Buy now. Lifeware is where they have I think it's a $15,000 package. I think at, did you take a walkthrough at CES this year in the booth? Are there,
yeah. Yeah, I believe that sort of the Best Buy deal is pretty interesting because it's traditionally not how you would get something like Lifeware.
Well, and initially they were saying that they were just going to go through the custom channel too, and then they changed their mind, or I don't know what happened, but they figured, well, Best Buy is a good place to be selling it too. I mean, you don't see it in store. It's still kind of a special item, at least all their stores. Maybe they're around the country. Maybe they're starting to integrate it, but I haven't seen it yet. Anyway, so they've been contacting me, which is great, to resell their product, and they'll actually let you resell it for $12,500. So you make $2,500 each time you sell it for them. The neat thing about this is that they actually do the installation. So if you find the client, you get them signed up, which is really simple. They come and do the install. I mean, they're even working with me and letting me kind of do whatever is necessary after the fact. So let's say we sell them the $15,000 package and they want to add on to it. Well, they don't, to my knowledge, they don't take it from there. That's something that I can do. So I can add on to the system. So for people interested in Lifeware, there's some neat opportunities that they're doing. I think especially with Best Buy and that connection is still not completely cutting out the system builder or the AV installer. There's still opportunity for him, which is good to see.
Yeah, and you mentioned even before we started, as we were just sort of getting set up, that one of the things that you can see in the future is sort of the Media Center PCs sort of going in every room, where you may have a TV in your lounge, in your kitchen, in your dining room, in your bedroom. You can see the Media Center PC going in there, and that being the device that goes around.
Yeah,
the home.
Exactly. I mean, it's not just going to be enthusiasts that are out here with PCs in every room, or like my wife likes to call me, a nerd. I think that everybody is going to have it because, I mean, come on, if you want content, it's going to be through the web. I mean, with IPTV, with the media center, with all the different, with the internet, being able just to, you know, jump on the web. I mean, televisions can do this too, but a PC does it even better. So if you have a nice LCD screen and it's got a mini PC built on the back of it, or maybe in the future even built into the monitor, which I'm sure is happening right now, that's what people will have. I mean, they're going to have access to whatever content they want, not just cable television. So it's only a matter of time, and I think that it's another great opportunity for system builders. I mean, the system builder market was just dead. It really, because of Dell and HP and all these companies that were just undercutting all the competition, it killed the system builder market. So it really forced us to kind of take different avenues, and that's why we created the jukebox, the rock box, touchscreen rock box. And I think that most people need to do that to get back in to get back into the market and get their feet in the door, and then they can start doing what system builders do, and that's build kick butt machines better than any HP or Dell could even come close to, and support the customer locally, which is the two most important things I think customers don't get from Dell, is that they don't get good tech support, they don't get good support at all, and the machines are pieces of crap that they think are good, and that's the funny part about it.
I suppose that you can offer the support locally that you're just not going to get through a big manufacturer.
Exactly. Local support is huge. I mean, we have people, I have clients that I work with that I go to on a weekly basis. I just stop by their house, make sure things are working, and you know, that's another opportunity for residual income. I could set them up on a plan where it's like, you know, $10, $15-$20 a month, and I'll come over and just kind of tweak your PC to make sure it's, you know, optimized and working efficiently, and take a look at the media center, make sure that all the content is working. And I think that we talked earlier about residual income and opportunities there, and I think that backing up customers' data is important. I mean, God forbid their house burns down and they lose everything. We've already had two customers that, you know, just had their children in one of the rooms and yanked a cord out of a box, and I don't know what happened, but the hard drive fried and bye-bye data. You know, they couldn't retrieve any of the data. So it's we want to create a solution where we're backing up the customer's data for them through services, whether it's Media Vault or, you know, our own server which will host the data. You know, we want to find a good solution to do that. And also, we were talking with Greg Cannon earlier today, actually, about he's going to be creating a solution where, maybe he has it out right now, where, you know, you push one button on the Media Center remote, or maybe in the future you just speak, "I need help," or go up and touch it on my touchscreen. And it will take you to send all of your information about the issue maybe you're having to his tech support staff, which is able to actually fix issues remotely, which is something customers really like. So if I'm on business traveling somewhere and there's a major issue that needs to be fixed, I can jump online and actually fix that issue remotely, just like IT staff does right now for corporations.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine, at work not being able to remote control and diagnose machines, because you just can't sort of rely on end users to tell you exactly what's on the screen. So I guess that, you know, when you're paying good money for an integrated solution like that, this is something that you definitely need.
Yeah, it's something that, yeah, trying to work over an issue on the phone with a customer is never a fun thing.
when we've got all these great sort of internet connections and everything else, and it's good to be able to use those to sort of send data back to save, you know, a lot of heartache, and it looks more like a much more professional solution, I guess, if someone's ringing you up to say, you know, you've got a potential problem, we need to fix it for you, rather than, you know, wait until the hard disk crashes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things I would like to see is, we have a lot of clients, obviously Seattle, Washington, we're lots of inlets and lots of water surrounding us, so we get the Puget Sound there. A lot of people take their yachts out around Lake Washington and around Washington, just Washington in general. And I was wondering if there is a solution that you could actually put a mini PC in one of these yachts that has the same access to this server at home. Do you know of anything, or is there a way where you can do that?
I'm sure there is. Yeah, I'm sure there's different ways, even if you're using VPN type connections, you know, virtual private networks, you could get into your home network. And we were talking before about problems like products like FolderShare, where you can share folders over the internet. So these kind of solutions are available, and that would be neat, though, wouldn't it? You know, if you've got your your home PC or your home network with all your Media Center sort of content on there, and you go in your boat and you know, the content's available there as well without you having to do any additional synchronization or copying data around. That would be a really
Yeah, that's because we've had to duplicate their data just to, you know, bring it over there, and we were selling the Sony XL 1 and 2 and now the 3 this year and last year. We stopped selling it as of yet because, or so far, because we're going with the mini PC now mostly, but the Sony XL 1 and 2 has been fun because the customers can throw in all their DVDs, but the problem is that we haven't been able to actually sync across, so we'll have to check out that folder share. Thank you.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few solutions out there now as internet connections get better, and I'm sure that you know there's different ways of doing it. I mean, one of the nice things about Windows Home Server is it's got a web-based interface where you can access your content and sort of, so that would do exactly what you want to do. But it's, you know, these solutions now of getting at your data from different locations are becoming more
available.
Yeah,
exactly. There'll always be some. So one of the things you mentioned was the Orb, and I listened to the podcast that you did with Ian. So that's exciting stuff. What have you started playing with? Is the new version of it then?
Yeah, I mean it's that was a kind of a hidden feature that I found. I didn't realize there's actually an MCL file, which is, you know, a way of launching Media Center and an application straight into it, so that you can launch the 10-foot version of Orb, and you can use a remote, and you can control Orb through that. So you could have another Media Center PC. It doesn't have to be on the same network, it can be over the internet, and you can stream content between the devices. So, you know, your example, if you've got a boat that's got some kind of Wi-Fi or 3G connection or whatever, and then you could stream your content straight through the 10-foot interface. But they're all obviously working on things like it works with the Wii browser and the PS3, so they're getting your Media Center content out to other devices outside sort of the Microsoft ecosystem, which is great because it means that you can get your Media Center content on all these different types of devices, you know, so you get to pick what they run on, but at the heart of it is Media Center.
So how does it connect to the Wii obviously has the browser, you can, you know, jump into that and log on to your MyCast, I think it is, but how does the Xbox 360 do it?
We can use it as a media server, so in the same way you would use Media Player as your media server, you can use Orb, but the nice thing about using Orb is it does the transcoding on your Media Center PC, and therefore you can get all the different formats straight through your Xbox 360 without having to pre-convert them or use a third-party program like Transcode 360.
So that's why he was mentioning DivX. He had a friend or something that had a lot of DivX content, so it automatically does that conversion on the Media Center PC on the Vista. It has to be a Vista Media PC, right?
No, it worked with XP as well, I should think. Although I've been using it with I've been using it with Vista, but I guess it could work with XP.
With either one. Oh, that's exciting. I think it seems like Orb is always a step ahead of what everybody else is doing, and they're giving their services for free, which is kind of nice compared to Slingbox and some of the other guys out there.
Orb for me works great. You know, the way that I use Orb is I quite a lot often in the office at lunchtime want to catch up with something I've recorded or when I listen to some music, so I can just log into the MyCast. But since I've got the UMPC, I've started to use Orb that way to stream content to the UMPC as well, so it's great that all your content is available, and that's what that's what it's about for me, is that Media Center is a way of getting all this great content onto you and use the power of the PC to power all these different devices. It's almost an excuse for me to buy a Wii, actually, to just to test it.
Yeah, I just bought the Wii, actually, so I'm gonna set that up today. I didn't even know I could do that. I mean, I went and listened to your podcast, and I realized it, but it's easy. I didn't know it was this easy.
Yeah, but I believe so. I think I'll have to justify to my wife why I need to buy a Wii and just to try that.
Oh, trust me, she'll be playing it more than you.
Yes, so how are you finding that?
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, I've played every game now. I rented all the games because we have lots of family, lots of kids in the family, so they come over, and we've played everything from Cooking Mama, which is a new one where you kind of cook, you flip the Wii controller, and it's sauteing stuff, to WarioWare's is really fun. You got baseball, basketball, football. They got a kind of a duck hunt game on another one where you aim the Wii controller at the screen, and it's kind of a replica of Duck Hunt. And, I mean, there's so many, it's not even funny. I just got Tiger Woods, too, so you actually swing, and Tiger will swing. It's pretty cool.
I played the boxing, and it's funny, actually. I've got a 4-year-old boy, boys that are twins, and they were playing the boxing, and you want to see these, see them going through it with the boxing. It just looks so much fun that that I thought I've got to get myself one of
those. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I think that if people start to use the Wii and the 360, that's going to be two rooms that are already taken care of with the extender. And I guess all that's really left is, you know, nobody's going to have an extender in their kitchen, and nobody's going to have an extender, I mean, some people, in their master bedroom. And, you know, if you want it in your bathroom and your game room or wherever, you know, I think that, those are the places that extenders need to be. And so right now, I mean, what we're trying to do is create a, I don't know if you've ever seen the iPort docking station, but it's basically a cutout in the wall. It's you know, laid into the wall where you can actually dock your iPod, and there's something from, there's a cord from that location, either Cat5 or they make a special cord that goes all the way back to your distributed audio system. So it's acting as a source, and you just click it in and boom, automatically you have access all around your home. So it's great for parties to listen to the music off of your iPod. And so what we're trying to create is a solution that's for the UMPC, which is the same thing. So if it actually comes to pass that these UMPCs become affordable, like they said they were going to be, talking under $1,000 each room. So basically we're trying to create a packet. We're trying to create a package that each room is about $1,000 or so, where you can put in a UMPC, and that becomes your touchscreen interface that is acting as essentially an extender. But the neat thing is you could actually, you know, pop it out and bring it in with you, you know, in the bathroom or your bed or wherever you are, and jump on the web and do all the things that UMPC do. So I think that as an extender, if it works right, you know, you'd have to have like a home server with all the content, and then just the media, you know, the UMPC accessing that content, because you obviously want to keep that, you know, the media free off of it and trying to keep it running as smoothly as possible, accessing that content. I think that solution would be a pretty cool solution for customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the UMPC does make a nice sort of portable extender, and for me the only thing it's lacking really is sort of live TV, but there are ways around that using services like Orb. But you know, apart from that, you know, everything you've got there, all your music, all your recorded TV and everything else, you know, pictures and everything just works. You know, it just plays it over the wireless network.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's obviously, there's a solution out there for exactly what we're trying to do, but there's no companies, and that's why hopefully we'll be one of the first to create a package where it's like, you know, we'll come in your home, we'll do the home automation stuff, we'll set up the media center, we'll explain it, we'll train you on how to use it, we'll set up the extenders for you, and we'll create the UMPC solution where customers will be able to kind of carry the extenders around with them, so, and hopefully be able to take it on their yacht too, and be able to continue to kind of carry their content wherever they go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a problem I have about you know, how to get my content onto my yacht yet.
Yeah, I don't have a yacht either. Maybe in the future, but I'll take it on my little bass fishing boat with me.
That sounds good. As far as I'll get, is it taking the UMPC into the bath, I think?
Yeah, the bath, I don't know. Hopefully they make a waterproof version of that.
I mean, how are you finding then that, you know, the people's attitude to all, you know, the possibilities of these kind of things are that... Because obviously you're finding the clientele with have got the kind of the right sort of lifestyles and income to do this, but have they got the knowledge to realise that you know, they can have these kind of devices and have this kind of capabilities, you know, with a product like me?
You know, it's been hit and miss. It's like I've had people interested, but these same people are the kind of the people that are on the bleeding edge. They always like to get what's new, and they've kind of stubbed themselves in the toe. I think we talked about the first time I met you at the Orb party. We talked about prior software that kind of created the home automation solution. I don't recall the name of it, but anyway, it was a home automation solution. It was a software solution that just, you know, it just tumbled, and nobody ever, I think they don't even support it anymore. He invested quite a bit of money into it. And so when I try and sell this customer Lifeware, it's like, you know, he wants to see it. So that's why we're going to have it integrated. We want to have, you know, in our home, we're going to have Lifeware set up. We're going to, it'll just be a pretty basic system. I think that $15,000 package comes with a 42-inch plasma. It comes with, you know, a lighting kit, one of their touch screens. It comes with a AC kit, I believe. It comes with security, I believe, a couple cameras, Panasonic cameras, so they can actually come into a home and see it working, because that's one of the things. I mean, I can I have a demo. I have actually have it set up on a laptop where I can show them how it works, but customers want to see it working, and they want some evidence that it's not just going to crash on them every single week or month or day, you know, like PCs tend to do. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, that was one of the nice things about the Microsoft Home I went to a couple of years back now, last year, where, yeah, 2 years back now, where Microsoft had got this sort of rented home in London, really nice home, and they'd sort of fully kitted it out with Media Center PCs and touchscreens and everything else, and to be able to see it in use in a house rather than just like you said, a demo, a laptop, or someone talking through PowerPoint presentations, really does sell it much more than you know like we said, laptops and presentations.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key selling point, is customers want, it doesn't matter how good of a salesperson you are, I mean, people aren't as trustworthy anymore, especially with new technology. They want to see it working and they want to see what it can really do. So, but you know, the cool thing is, I mean, you've seen LifeWare's booth, you've seen their road show that they do with their little RV. I mean, it does work. It definitely works, and it works well. And I'm sure embedded automation solution works just as good. And it's, you know, 1/10 the cost. And there's other people out there that are creating other solutions. So the neat thing is that companies like me can actually kind of mold ourselves to work with the client that we're working with. So for the people that want the platinum, the luxury package, then I got a solution for you. It's LifeWare. If you're like me and your wife kind of, you know, has a say on what the money's being spent on, then maybe embedded automation solution is better for me, which probably it is.
No, there's a case of where, you know, you can't always put the huge investment in, but what I liked about embedded automation's products is you can dip your toe in very cheaply with just a couple of devices and see how they work for you, and then build up, you know, without having to sort of throw thousands of dollars at your thing straight out of the box.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why I love what Ted and what the guys over at Embedded are doing. I think that's perfect. The only thing that I'd like for them to see, and Ted, if you listen to this, just a little word of advice, I want to see more compatibility with products. I think that, Z-Wave is something that has been doing really well in the market, I think, and I'd like to see integration with Z-Wave with that, so you have more flexibility on what products you can actually use with embedded automation. I think that, you know, Insteon is fantastic, and there's a ton of cool products with that too. And X10, you know, X10's got the bad rap, but you know, Insteon has kind of fixed a lot of the issues that X10 had. And I think that these low cost solutions are actually starting to become really, really cool, and they work just as good. In fact, LifeWare uses Z-Wave, and you know, I don't know if they use Insteon, but they use some Z-Wave products, which is, it goes to show you that, you know, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars to have what LifeWare provides. LifeWare is just really the luxury kind of all-around solution where they give you the service and the support, and you know, they give you everything. So it's kind of why it's so expensive, really.
Well, obviously, the nice thing about the Media Center solutions is that, as an enthusiast, you can sort of dip your toe in and try these things, and there's a lot of listeners to the show are very technical capable, and you know, and they're going to be looking at sort of probably building their own touchscreens, and it's something that you can do with Media Center, whereas, you know, with a closed proprietary system, it's just not something you could even attempt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's been great catching up and talking to you again. Some of the stuff you're doing, I think, is really good, and I think we'll have to make sure we get you back on to talk about the developments that you're doing, because I think you've got some great ideas, and it's good to see those going forward.
Thanks a lot, Ian. Hopefully one of the venture capitalists listening will give me a call and, you know, let me kind of run with maybe a couple million dollars, and I'll definitely quadruple your money. So you guys got my website. It's mceintegration.com, and yeah, it's been really fun talking to you, Ian. Thanks again for the opportunity.
Okay, that's it for this week's show. So no show next week or the week after. The show will be back Thursday, 14th of June. So look out for the show then. And if you see someone walking around Cyprus with a UMPC, that could be me with my Samsung Q1. So while I'm away, keep an eye on the forums, the digitallifestyle.com forums. Keep the email coming in, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and you can check out the blogs. Don't forget the book, and let me know if you're going to get the book or you've got the book, and I'd be interested to hear you get on with it. And I'll see you back on the 14th of June. See ya. Bye.
We'll be right back.